My guest at this time is Damian Brady. He's the Director of Research at the National Taxpayers Union. We've asked him to offer his analysis of the economic plan outlined by Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump Monday in Detroit, both in terms of restoring order to the nation's balance sheet and in spurring economic growth. And Damian, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, you have already analyzed this speech and released a fairly brief public statement giving it mixed reviews. So let's go over some of the highs and lows from your perspective. I guess on the more positive side, you are appreciative of his call for lower taxes, a simplified tax code, and I would imagine a reduced corporate tax rate that he wants to bring down to 15%. What do you see as the best parts of the tax plan, and what else would you like to see from him?
Yeah, essentially, as you mentioned, the heart of his plan is tax simplification, which is very important. The IRS has estimated that its entire paperwork burden for all of its forms and requirements will amount to about 9 billion hours. And so that represents a huge economic deadweight loss of people spending time on their tax forms instead of doing more productive things with their money. And you would do so by reducing the income tax rates across the board. He tweaked his plan that he had announced earlier in the year, but overall it's a very good plan. We'll get the economy going in a pro-growth direction. And his corporate tax plan, I think, is very good. He's adopted the Republican position on his income tax portion, but he's gone beyond them on his call for a corporate tax rate that would be lower than they had proposed. This would just be a great boon to the economy, where people, because it's not the businesses that pay these taxes, it's the consumer that pays them through higher prices. So this, across the board, this will help people. He's proposed to eliminate the death tax, which is just a huge waste of time, because the people who have money that fall under this spend so much time and money on tax avoidance that this death tax is not worth the money that it raises. And let people do with their money that they want to do, and they've already been taxed on it when it was originally earned anyway. And he also went over some of his spending proposals, including repealing the Affordable Care Act. Now, he has been less than clear on what he would do to replace that. He's laid out a couple of guidelines, but essentially he's going to leave it up to the Congress that he's faced with to work out the fine details of that, which is one problem that you typically run into with Donald Trump, is just a lack of specifics. You look on the other hand, I think Hillary Clinton has maybe over 100 different policy people working on her campaign, and she has a policy on every possible thing that you can conceive of. And she even has a policy related to horses, which probably hasn't been part of a presidential platform since maybe the 1800s. So he needs to provide some more details on some of the things that he would like to do, particularly when it comes to long-term budget reform. He's got a solid tax plan, pro-growth, but he hit the president for raising the debt and the deficit over his last 8 years, and that's something that Trump has not adequately addressed. He's talked about using getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse in the budget to balance things, and there's not enough of that there. We need more specifics on ways to cut spending.
Let's talk about a couple different aspects here. We talked about that you're favorably inclined towards the individual tax rate reductions, corporate tax rate reductions, tax code simplification. Some conservatives not very happy with his attitude towards capital gains tax rates, though. What's your read on that?
Yeah, it's called to get rid of what he calls loopholes there, and essentially what these would do, he has pitched a plan that Hillary would probably support, but hers goes a little bit further. It's basically a tax on investment through carried interest and capital gains. What this does is just raise the cost of investment, which will be bad for mutual funds and for pension plans around the country, because they're trying to tax the income of the people who are going out and making these investment decisions, but they're going to pass along their costs to their consumers, their customers, just as what happens currently with corporate taxes and sales taxes. Those get built into the cost of the product that you're going to buy, so it gets passed along to consumers in the end run. And that's one part of his plan that he ought to reconsider, but in the large scheme of things, his plan overall has a lot more good in it than bad.
Let's talk about the spending restraint. I believe your report suggests that, as far as you can tell, and you mentioned the lack of specificity in some areas, that if Trump were to follow through on his promises, it would boost federal spending by $22 billion per year that he is in office. Talk about that a little bit, and also, if you can, compare it to what that number would look like under Hillary Clinton's plan.
Yes. Oh, so we have a great tool for that. We call it candidatecost.org, and we have been tracking all the spending proposals of originally all of the candidates during the primary, and now we've focused in on Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and also Gary Johnson as well. So you can go there and look up every single proposal that they have. We're still researching some things for Hillary Clinton. So last week, we had Trump as a net cutter. His net plans that we were able to score based on the level of specificity would have reduced spending by about $56 billion a year. Then last week, he said that he would double Hillary Clinton's infrastructure spending. So that jumped his agenda up to $22 billion in new spending per year. But that comes with a caveat as well, because he has called for the largest increases in the military in history, but he hasn't said what that would be. And he has other areas of where he hasn't necessarily been too specific. In the speech, he called for new spending perhaps on law enforcement, but we're not exactly sure what that might be. And then his so $22 billion, chunk of change, and you look over at Hillary Clinton, and the current tally that we have for her is that her spending proposals would increase spending by about $175 billion annually. So it's a much more aggressive, big government agenda than we see from Donald Trump.
We're talking with Damian Brady of the National Taxpayers Union. And Damian, as you probably know, some of the economic architects of Trump's plan have essentially admitted that his tax-cutting plan would increase deficits to some extent. But they say when you look at the past 8 years and you look at the sluggish economic recovery, that that is going to be somewhat necessary to get the shackles off the economy and get the type of growth that we should have seen coming out of a deep recession but haven't seen yet. And they believe that lowering those tax rates in addition to rolling back some regulation are the keys to that, and temporary deficit increases are going to be something that has to be endured for that to happen. What do you make of that argument?
I think that's a fair argument, because what you saw when President Obama came into office, the economy was in rough straits. The Republicans tried to get together with him on the stimulus package, and everyone remembers he told them, "I won." He did not take any of their input regarding tax reform and other reforms that could have gone into the stimulus plan, but it was all Keynesian government spending, which, as we've seen over these last 8 years, hasn't had the effect that Obama and his advisors said it would. So Trump has a very aggressive pro-growth tax plan. It will impact revenues over the next 10 years. I think Larry Kudlow thought it might be $3 trillion in revenue loss over the next 10 years. I'm sure the Tax Policy Center and the Tax Foundation will run their numbers, and we'll see what that might be. And this is why we really want to hear from these candidates some of their spending reform ideas. But unfortunately, we're getting a lot more information from the candidates on how they would increase spending rather than putting in some sort of budgetary restraint, looking out for the taxpayers on the spending side of the ledger, as well as Trump's plan would on the tax side.
Just as an exit question here, Damian, Hillary Clinton, of course, said at the convention, and she's said it since then, that she's prepared to unleash the biggest investment in the U.S. economy since World War II. I know there's multiple programs, as you've outlined, that go into that, but what can we expect from that promise?
A lot more debt, I would believe. I think the Tax Policy Center last March had estimated that Hillary's plan would her tax plan would increase revenues by about $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Her spending plan would increase it on a 10-year rate by about $1.8 trillion. So, like I said, with Trump, we're not hearing from them what they're going to do to restrain spending. There's very few ideas from either candidates on that.
Damian, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your analysis today.
Thank you very much for having me on. Take care.
Damian Brady is Director of Research at the National Taxpayers Union. For more information, go to ntu.org, or to take a closer look at the candidates' tax and spending proposals, go to candidatecost.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.